The last 7 weeks, we've been looking deeper into something called the kingdom of God. And if you're new, just joining us in this series, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about anywhere, anytime, with anyone where God is having influence. That's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is bigger than. That's what we've titled this series, Bigger Than. The kingdom of God's bigger than our worries, bigger than our worldly attachments, bigger than the urgency of our everyday life, bigger than our rights, our opinions, our preferences, bigger than anything. The kingdom is a huge part of the New Testament. It's referred to 162 times, and the kingdom was the central teaching of Jesus. And so today, we're going to come to the bottom line as we finish up this series. And the bottom line is this, that the kingdom is bigger than you. It's bigger than me, way bigger. Now, how did you hear that? That the kingdom is bigger than you? Did you take that to mean that you're insignificant, not important? I hope not, because that's not what I meant by that. If you're a part of the kingdom of God, you're a part of something huge and significant. But I was thinking in a different way when I said that, that the kingdom of God is bigger than you, bigger than me. And when we talk about it that way, what we're saying is it this way: the kingdom of God is bigger than me, meaning the kingdom of God is bigger than ourself. It's bigger than our personal world that we've created, okay? Being a part of the kingdom of God, prior to the kingdom of God, we only had one option. We lived for ourselves. Prior to entering the kingdom of God, the only option we had was to serve ourselves. We were the center of our universe. And the Apostle Paul does an amazing job of describing that life prior to becoming a part of the kingdom of God. He describes it really well. And we find it in Colossians chapter 3, and that's where we're going to look today, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 5. Here's how he describes our lives prior to having the influence of God in our lives when we were the center of our world. And remember, he's writing to the church here. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." That earthly nature, that is ourself. That's me. That's my world. "Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So Paul's describing how we lived before we invited Jesus to be Lord of our life, where we were primarily living for ourselves. And it's when we were large and in charge, when we ruled our lives, we were king, and we rejected the influence of King Jesus in our life. And as Paul lists some of the sins, and he gives us a whole list of sins, how my mind works is I immediately go to categorizing. And I notice there's basically four categories of sin that he describes. There are the sexual sins. Then he mentions greed, which covers a whole bunch of things. Then he talks about the sins of anger. And then he talks about the sins of our words, of our speech, of how we talk. And it's really easy to focus on then the specifics of that list. But what I want you to realize is that that list, and he could have given a whole lot more, it really directs us to something deeper. Because every one of those sins that he mentions, if you were to think of them like an onion and peel, the layers of the onion, when you get to the core is the same in each and every one of those sins. The core is me. The core is self. It's when I want to focus on myself, serve myself, take care of myself, when it's all about me, what I want, what I think I deserve, That's what results in those various kinds of sins. It always comes back to the same exact core. Think about it. The sexual sins and lust that he mentioned, it comes back to ultimately about my pleasure. When he talks about greed, what's he talking about? That all that I have is for me. When he talks about the sins of anger, think about that. We get angry when someone or something gets in the way of something we want, that we think we need. And then the words that we use that are sinful, whether they're lies or slander or malice, whichever, you use a number of words there to describe it. What those describe is when we're trying to either protect or promote ourselves. It all comes back to me. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, writing to those who believe, is commanding that we put to death, and that's the word he used, put to death me. Put to death ourself. Put to death self. And make Jesus king. Folks, we're not going to get rid of those sins in our lives by just focusing on the sins. The way that we get rid of those sins in our lives is when we dethrone me, when we take the power of serving ourselves, of taking care of ourselves first. When that is removed, that's when those sins begin to lose their power and are eliminated in our lives. And what Jesus comes to do, and when we enter the kingdom of God, he wants to take over. He wants to do massive. Can I say that word again? I love it. Massive transformation. So, but I'm afraid too many of us, we don't go far enough in faith. What I mean by that is that, well, let me explain it this way. Think of your life as a house. And sin has messed up your house, okay? And you need someone to come in and clean up the mess and dust and tidy up and just make it cleaner. We need a good cleaning. And so we invite Jesus to do that. Or maybe you're here with us in person or online. You've been thinking about that. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet. And you want him to come in and clean it up and dust and sanitize and vacuum and pick up and get the sins out. Is that how you see Jesus? Is Jesus a maid who tidies up your life? I've got news for you. Jesus isn't a maid. Further, he's not even a repairman who comes in and fixes leaky faucets or your roof if you've been through these rains we've had this summer, fixing your leaky roof. That is not who Jesus is. Jesus is a demolition and remodel expert. He is not going to be satisfied until he can do a major transformation in our life. He wants to knock out walls. He wants to completely redo this house. He's even willing at times to take it all the way down to the foundation and rebuild it from there. Jesus' purpose is not to come in and make your life look good. He is there to make your life a house that will be a palace that's fit for the king. That's who he is. But if we're honest, we say, yeah, but all I really wanted was just someone to come tidy things up a little bit. Just clean it up a little bit and fix a few of my trouble areas, like maybe lust or impatience or anger. And I didn't really want a complete renovation job. And I think that's where we've missed it. Too many of us have missed it. We invited Jesus to come into our house as a guest, an honored guest for sure. But what Jesus demands is not to be a guest in our house. Jesus has only one identity. He's king. He's Lord. And when we invite Jesus in, we invite him to be the Lord of our life. We transfer the ownership, the title of our life over to him. He is no longer a guest in our life. He is now the owner of our life. And that is completely different from how we typically think and respond to him. And as the owner, that requires that the me in us that self is dethroned. The kingdom of God is bigger than me because Jesus takes over. And so the question is Jesus a guest in my life or is he the owner of my life? When we invite Jesus to truly be the owner, what happens is, and this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, what happens is that he gives us a new self. And look at it, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. We read it before. I want to repeat it. The end of 9, he says, we've taken off our old self with its practices. And then verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed, remodeled, transformed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. And that new self looks a lot more like Jesus. It looks like more like Jesus right from the start, but then it's a growing process. You see, Jesus, when he comes in to do some demolition and remodel, he's gentle and he's kind, and we're gonna see that in just a moment. And so sometimes that process takes a while. In fact, it's actually a lifelong process. Some of the changes happen dramatically at first, but it's a continual process. It was 50 years ago last month that I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and the change was dramatic. But he's still changing me. There are still parts of my life that where me has far too much influence and control, and he's continuing that process of transformation to become this new person in Christ. Today, we're gonna have some folks that are baptized. I think about 10 were baptized after the first service, and after this service, we're gonna have some other folks in our outdoor baptistry in the court be baptized. Here's what happens in baptism. Those folks this morning and this afternoon, they are saying to the Lord Jesus that they are gonna do the very thing the Apostle Paul talked about, that they are dying to their old way of living when they were large and in charge. And they are uniting with him in the waters of baptism. And they're gonna come out of that water to begin a new way of living, a new life with Jesus, where he is Lord of their life and the me has been dethroned. That's what's gonna happen. It's that incredible, powerful transformation that Jesus does. And this new self, this new house, this new life reflects the owner, the King, Jesus himself. And so our character changes. Our character becomes more and more like Jesus. Our identity changes. We now become a child of the King that lives in his kingdom. Our purpose changes. We no longer live for ourselves to promote ourselves. We live for the King and to pursue the things that are important to the King. Everything in the old life has changed and is passing away, and we live for a kingdom that will never, ever end. And then as Paul continues to write, he changes his analogy. The first analogy was that we put to death these things, and I use the illustration of a house and the remodeling. The next illustration that talks about this transformation is that of clothes. And what he's describing here is that we need to take off these old clothes and put on some new clothes. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What he's saying is that the old clothes have to be discarded. And catch this, again, what we're so tempted to do is just say, Jesus, I just need you to wash my clothes. Just clean them up. No. The old clothes are discarded and we put on new clothes. And those new clothes were described as this compassion and humility and gentleness and kindness and patience. And by the way, those words describe the King. They describe Jesus. The clothes that we're putting on are the very nature and character of Jesus. And you want to know who Jesus is? There's a great description. Jesus is compassionate, and he's kind, and he's gentle, and he's patient. And that's how, that's the life that we begin to live. That's the character that we put on as we allow Jesus to truly be Lord. And our identity changes. Did you notice our identity is now described as being God's chosen people? Now, I have to be honest with you. That phrase for many, many years bothered me. The fact that I'm one of God's chosen people, because it sounded like God loved me better than He loved those maybe who weren't in faith, and I knew that wasn't true because the Scripture's clear that God loves every single human being. So what does it mean that we're God's chosen people? What does it mean when we say yes to Jesus and become a part of the kingdom of God? And here's what this really, I think, means. And here's how I think the best way to understand being God's chosen people. We were chosen to no longer live that old life, but chosen to live, what we chose to live in a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And as God's chosen people, what it means is that we're different, we're unique, we're distinct, and the word that I really like the best is we're peculiar. You're all peculiar. We ought to be, meaning that when we enter the kingdom of God, we are no longer like the way the rest of the world operates. We're different. We're peculiar. And it ought to be obvious to everyone that we no longer belong to that old kingdom where me reigns, but now we live in a kingdom where Jesus truly reigns in our life. And this new identity becomes obvious to everybody. When we repented, meaning we left the kingdom where the kingdom of self, the kingdom where me was in charge, then things have to change and people have to notice that. And that's the question. Do people see you as peculiar, as different, as distinct, as one of God's chosen people? If the answer is no, then me has far too much power in your life still. Chosen people live in a distinct way. And Paul continues in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Look what he says. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievances against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, if you're following this, Paul started by saying, put to death this, put to death me. And then he says, to put on these new clothes that reflect Jesus, then all of a sudden he says, but now we got to bear with each other and we got to forgive each other. Why is this in here? It's in here because as we truly are putting on this new self, as we're a part of the kingdom of God, it is a process. It doesn't all happen. All the changes don't happen at once. There's still the me in us. There's still self in us. And so because there's still selfishness in us, there are times that we are going to offend others. We're going to hurt others. And we have to bear with each other. And we have to forgive each other. And see, that's exactly what King Jesus does with each and every one of us. I guarantee you, Jesus is putting up with something in you, right? He is bearing with you. And as he bears with you, he doesn't give up on you. As he bears with you, he forgives you because he values the relationship. And as we become a part of the kingdom of God, we take on all the characteristics of the King, including bearing with one another in our shortcomings and forgiving each other. And so what Paul's, and then Paul wraps it up in verse 14, Colossians 3:14. He says this, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The ultimate that we put on is love. That's those clothes that we put on, it's love. Because love best describes Jesus, the King of the kingdom. And love isn't this soft sentimentality. Love is seeking what's best for another person, period. And that's Jesus. And that's who we're to be. And when we truly have that focus, that what's best for others, that covers all the other things that Paul has already talked about here. So what Paul's doing is he's talking about two kingdoms. And there's only two kingdoms. There's not four, there's not eight, there's two. There's the kingdom of self, and there's the kingdom of God. And we choose which kingdom we'll be a part of. We choose who we're going to give primary influence in our life, me or Jesus. And we have to choose which kingdom we want to be a part of. And so Paul has done a way of describing that. He hasn't used every description possible, but he's given us a picture. And I want to put the words again. Here are some of the behaviors. And by the way, sin is simply behaviors. Behaviors that reflect us are behaviors that reflect God. And he gave us a list of those behaviors that reflect me. And let me just put them up on the screen again. These were from Ephesians 3, 5 through 8. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. That's the behaviors when me reigns. When me is in control. And now let's be fair, in that kingdom, the kingdom of self, in the kingdom of self, there can be a lot of fun. It's okay, it really is true. Somebody said, I think this past week, I heard him say that if you lived in the kingdom of self and you didn't have fun, you didn't know how to do it right. I mean, to be able to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, that could be fun for a while. But every single one of those things that Paul listed, and he could have listed more, also damage relationships, hurt ourselves, and people experience shame in that, whether they want to be completely aware of it or not. It's there, oftentimes unconscious, and the guilt is there. And while there's certainly times when it can be fun, the cost and the pain and the suffering is also very real and significant. There's the kingdom of self. And then there's the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we live in submission to King Jesus. We surrender to him and his ways. And Paul described that in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. I'll put those up on the screen again. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, and love. See, in the house that Jesus is building, that's what that house is going to look like. And the clothes that we put on in this kingdom, that's what those clothes will look like. And the question becomes, is that what others see in you? Do they see compassion, gentleness, kindness, patience, bearing with, forgiving, love? Do they experience those in your house, so to speak? Because these are the evidence of King Jesus. And so we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice of which kingdom we're going to live in. Which king, small k or large k, capital K, which king is going to be in charge, me or Jesus? Who's going to have primary influence in my life? Is it going to be you or Jesus? It's a simple choice. It's not an easy choice. The kingdom of God is bigger than me. I want you to say that with me. Will you say it with me? The kingdom of God is bigger than me. And so we surrender to the influence of the king who wants to do a renovation of our heart. If we want to be a citizen of the kingdom, we've got to let him have his way with us, to overwhelm us so that there's real transformation that happens, giving us a new character, giving us a new identity, giving us a new purpose as we live not for ourselves, but for the King. And so my question is, are you ready for a new self? Are you ready for a new identity, purpose, a new life? And if you're ready, it begins simply by saying, yes to Jesus. And yes to Jesus means that we're willing to surrender to him, to allow him to have the ownership of our life, to take control, to hand over the title of our life, the ownership of our life to Jesus. And it can happen right now in this moment, wherever you are, whether you're in this room, whether you're with us online, right now. There are no exact words you have to say. It's simply that in your own way, in your own words, saying, look, I'm surrendering control of my life to you, Jesus. I'm ready for you to have your way with me. And I want to encourage you, if you've not made that decision, if you're ready for a new beginning, a new life, that's where it begins. It begins with that moment of surrender to Jesus. And then what Jesus has asked us to do when we come to that place where we're ready to surrender is we actually make a commitment or a promise to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life. And we do that in something called baptism. As I mentioned today, some folks were baptized. We're going to have an opportunity for baptisms after this service today as well. And in baptism, what we do is a person stands in the water and they're symbolically dying to their old way of life when they were in charge. They go into the water. There's a symbolism there of uniting with Jesus. And we come out of the water picturing that we're now beginning a new way of living where he's large and in charge. We're following his way. We're following his will. And if you're ready to make that commitment, the commitment is that you're making that he's Lord of your life to the best of your ability all the days of your life. And if you're ready to make that commitment, we're going to have that opportunity after service. And so if right now, if God's speaking to your heart, the Holy Spirit's moving you, that you're ready to be baptized, I want to encourage you just to go ahead and be prepared. There's a tent out in our courtyard. Just get up and step right out through these doors, go through the lobby out there, and they'll help you. We've got clothes for you to be baptized in, towels, changing rooms, everything ready. Don't worry about people seeing you stand up to go, because it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It only matters that you and Jesus get on the same page. And so if you want to do that, I would encourage you. We had some people last service as well who just on the spot made that decision. And I want to encourage you to do that. For all of us, if we are a part of the kingdom of God, it will be obvious. It will show. Because the kingdom of God is bigger than me. Maybe you repented once in your life. Maybe it was recently. Maybe it was a year, a couple years ago. Maybe it was 10, 15, maybe like me, 50 years ago. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, your Lord and your Savior. You were baptized at some point. But the question is, not what happened in the past. The question is he Lord right now? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he in charge? Is he in control right now? That's what matters. I started this series 8 weeks ago. And one of the things that I hit hard when we started this series talking about the kingdom of God was a summary of Jesus' teaching. This shows up in the very first words we have recorded of Jesus after he was baptized and after his time in the wilderness. In other words, he comes out of the wilderness and he's beginning his 3-year ministry. The bulk of what's recorded in our Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth, which summarize all of his teaching, are found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Here are the words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, look, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Why? Because Jesus is here. He says, I'm here, the Son of God, the Lord of the universe. I am here. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come here. And that requires that you change the way you live. That's what repent means. You can no longer live the way you lived. It all has to be different. It all is different. And you are entering into the kingdom. It means you will be different. Folks, for some of us, it's time to repent again. Jesus is here. He's inviting us, he's begging us to let him have control of our life, to abandon the kingdom of self and let Jesus be king. And some of us still have, using the analogy of the house, some of us still have rooms that we haven't let Jesus into. We still treat him as a guest. He's welcome in our house, but doesn't get reign of the whole house. And for some of us, it's time to say, Jesus, you can have the whole house. You can have all of me. And if you're at that place right now, may I pray for you and with you? If you're at that place where you need to hand over more of your life to Jesus, let's pray together. Father God, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to convict each and every one of us of those parts of our life that we still control. We're asking you to come in and truly take over. And we invite you to take over to such an extent that it becomes obvious to everyone around us. In our weakness, help us, give us strength to trust you. Because it's only out of that trust that we'll let go and let you have your way. Remind us of how good you are. Remind us of how right it is to allow you to be Lord in every area. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.